All right.
Okay.
All right, so the library board meeting, it's April 25th, 2024. We'll open with public comments. Anybody here that would like to offer public comments?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So our first motion item is to approve the minutes from March 28th, 2024.
Do we have a
quorum? We do.
Good.
The only one we're missing right now is Wes.
Yeah.
And he emailed that he would not be able to come this month, but he will be able to come next month.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Do we have a
second?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimous. So let's move on to Donna's director report.
Okay, two suggestions for you can pass out these to the other girls.
There you go.
Okay.
And I'll take those from you. Show them from
the other. Do I have ever? Yes.
I think there's one for you. Okay. Both ways, right?
Wait, wait, wait. We need one more.
We need one more of these or these?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So April is the last month that we do our weekly story time, our weekly school year programs, and then we take May off because we need that whole month to get ready for our summer reading program. Besides just our regular story times, April was pretty mellow, no huge programs like Fairy Tale Ball, no Fairy Tale Ball in April. But our story time attendance on cold days, so story time attendance is really dependent on weather in the spring. Because if it's a sunny day, everyone goes to the park. And if it's a cold day, they come to the library. And one showy day in April, we had 95 people come to story time.
Oh, wow.
Which is more than that came to one of the sessions of the Fairy Tale Ball. It's just they all showed up at once. And we had, it's not uncommon for us to have 50 and even on a cold day, 70, but this was the first time we ever had 90.
Wow, we could really use a dedicated room.
Yes. Our performers might. We show the book up on the big screen so they can see the pages. So we're set up to work with big groups.
Wow.
But still, that was a big group. And
was it a good book?
It was. We had a really good craft that day. It was about colors. We had finished the alphabet, and it was a butterfly that you put on a contact paper, and then you put the tissue paper to make a see-through thing. But it's hard to make those butterflies. You have to cut them out on the Cricut. And I'm like, I don't know if I can have enough. So I hurried back in my office. I'm hurrying, cutting them out on the Cricut while she's doing her stories. We had enough, but we only had 4 left over, so it was close. We had our second video editing class. We had a class about how to take care of houseplants. Neither of those had great attendance.
I was the only one who came to the houseplants class.
You were the one who came.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, they worked really hard to get it ready. It was a good class, and they were sad that not many people came.
I wonder why. It seemed like
I know.
I just couldn't come one day.
Yeah. It was discouraging that no one came to that, and we only had one person at our video editing class too. It was Doug.
Mm-hmm.
So I did record it and post it on our YouTube page, and I had 2 people ask me if I was going to post it on YouTube, so I haven't gone back to see if anybody watched it, but I will. But we had a good Earth Day craft where they made seed paper out of recycled books. We have our writers group. We had a local author come and speak to our writers group. As a passive program, we had, for National Poetry Month, we had a poetry where you could hang leaves with your poem written on it on a tree, and we had good participation with that.
Did one say leave me alone? Sorry.
In haiku format.
Yes.
So in May, coming up in May, we'll have just passive programs. The only live in-person programs will be the WordPress class, which I think will have better attendance to that, because I think a lot of people want to learn WordPress. And then just our monthly special needs adult story time. Those are our only live classes. But then I'm also sending, we're sending three people to ULA conference the 8th through the 10th. And we will have a presence at the City Open House on the May 8th. So those are our main programs. But most of the month will be spent getting ready for summer reading. Because our story times have been so big, we're going to do two summer story times a week instead of just one. And they'll be out here on this lawn out here. And on the Tuesday morning, we'll have story time there, and then over here we'll have crafts for this 6 to 11th age kids. On Thursday, during story time, we'll have science for the 6 to 11th age kids. So people can choose. The story time will be the same both times, but they can choose whether they want to come to the one during crafts or the one during science. And I'll be doing the science. And I've got them all planned out. I've been working on planning out my science. It'll be fun.
Do you ever start with like 9 a.m. or like what?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock?
Yeah.
When it gets really hot, do you ever bring them in?
Usually 10, we haven't had any trouble. Like 10, it's not too bad. Last summer, we did some science in the afternoon at 1, and it was too hot.
Yeah.
And so that was another reason for us to change how that schedule went. It was just too hot at 1 o'clock to do science. So, let's see, we did a post-it note comment board in the library this month. It was in honor of National Library Week. And we had a lot of responses. We had 94 positive post-it notes and 45 suggestions, which a lot of them were positive feedback. And so this is a book cloud. Just on the report, there's a book cloud of the suggestions. But then this page shows you both the suggestion book cloud and word cloud and the praise word cloud. And I like it that both the suggestions and the praise, the biggest words are love books. But it did remind me that, I pay a lot of attention to the program side of libraries because I did programming before I was a director. But people really do like the books, too. I mean, the books are a big part of the library. We have responded already to this campaign. We've purchased the specific authors and books that people suggested we get, most of them. We have already ordered extra Spanish books. We had a couple people wanted more Spanish scripture books, so we've already ordered that. We're in the process of adding one more shelf to our graphic novels, our intermediate graphic novel shelf, so that, because we have a bunch of intermediate graphic novels that aren't on display because they don't fit. Mm-hmm. So we're adding one more shelf so that we can get all our graphic novels back out, especially over the summer. The kids, that's all they want to read is the graphic novels. So that was a really good exercise. I was so happy with that. I think I'm going to do it every year. Okay. Impact story of the month. Starting in January, I started doing up these STEM corner displays. And I did it mostly for myself. I just love science stuff. And I didn't have any way to record how many people were interacting with it. I was just doing it for fun. But this month, as I was putting up a seed one since we have our propagation station up too, and I decided to put together these little packets that had a Ziploc bag and a paper towel and seed. They put some water in it, they tape it to their window, and they can watch the seed grow, right? And that's what I have here. I have the seeds growing with my little grow lights. And at first I made 16 kits. I had no idea how many people would take them. In 2 days, the 16 kits were gone. I kept making cakes and cakes.
I've seen them in my neighborhood.
Have you? Yes. And so, and by the end of it, and we gave away the last cake today, so I'm going to take it down and put up the next display tomorrow. But we gave out 141 of these little
cakes. What were the seeds growing? What kind of seed was it?
I had peas, I had beans, and I had zucchini. So they would be nice and big, you know.
Yeah. Did you put some of the ones that had sprouted in the propagation stages?
I did. Oh, I put some that got too big for the plastic bags. I took them out and put them in the propagation stations.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'll take the rest of them. When I take it down tomorrow, I'll put the ones that are sprouted in the propagation stations. But, I mean, it's a small thing, but 140 kids now have seeds growing in their window.
That's,
and I have to say, my 14-year-old thought it was great. So it wasn't just like little, you know what I mean? Like, we had such a fun time the other day, putting our post-it note review up and, like, getting our propagation stage. I mean, it was just super fun to have all the little things.
Yeah, fun things to do. And we've got a new good science one going up. Next month, we're putting up one about water. And it was the materials for it was sent to us by a water conservation district something. So they just gave us a bunch of good materials. So that's going to be a fun one next month as well. And I didn't have to come up with it. So I say have to. Actually, I like it. I plan these things month ahead because it's my fun place. So anyway, it just warmed my heart that so many kids liked my little seed packets. They were super simple, but they liked them. So, okay, statistics. I think one of the statistics of note this month is that our digital circulation, I think for the first time, went over 8,000 in a month. It just keeps going up and up. And so, for those who weren't here in our foundation meeting, we've decided to do a fundraiser this summer, specifically to get more money to buy ebooks because they're just so popular. And everyone will like it if we buy more because their wait list will go down. Everything else was pretty normal. Okay.
Alright. So let's move on. Hello, Donna. Love what you do. It's so fun to hear about all these great things. So.
It really is.
Yeah. You and your staff. Awesome. All right. So moving on to the action policy items. So the first one is the presenter's sponsored policy.
Okay. This is our third attempt at this, and so you guys all know the background that we started on this 2 months ago. This is to help my program coordinators when we get approached by people who want to do a presentation in the library as a library program, or they want to sponsor a library program. We need to give them guidelines so they know, you know, what they can do and what they can't do, and that just makes it consistent for everybody, takes the pressure off my program person to have a policy. So we sent this to Rob, who's our city attorney, and he looked over it, and I thought his suggestions were good suggestions that he gave.
Is that the red lines?
The red line ones are his, yes.
Are the blue ones?
What are
the blue? I was like, red? I printed off mine black and white, so.
Yeah.
They're underlined in mine, I guess. Anyway, thoughts? Comments?
The only question I had is, did we have to run it through the Library Foundation? That was my only question.
Oh, the finances?
Yeah. Because I think we were open to both.
He didn't comment on that specific.
I think it was more of a choice for the board, right? Like that you could run it through the 501c, or you could run it through, because you take donations.
We do,
but they don't get the tax benefit if they do it, though.
Yes.
And the control over the money.
Yeah.
If it's through to the library, it's part of your budget.
Yes, it just goes to the general library pot.
Uh-huh.
So for me, it makes more sense to do it through the foundation.
I agree. I just don't want to make sure. Yeah, if we allow both, I don't want to force someone who's doing something.
That's true. I mean, I think you would have to from now on say, we don't take donations. Right. If this is the policy.
Yes.
Well, this is a policy only for those who are specifically sponsoring the program.
It does say two support programs.
Okay.
So we do still take general donations because we get donations all the time, mostly people who say keep the change.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we don't want to stop that.
Yeah. We don't want to stop that. Yeah.
No.
The only other question I had was this sentence, the very first red line, blue line. He made using the library space and resources for lectures or programs as a privilege not available to the general public, but may be granted to individuals. I don't understand what that the purpose of it is or what it even means as written.
I don't understand why is it not available to the general public, but it is.
I think that we're not going to, if you want to do a program on hamster sled, I don't know, whatever.
Right, I mean, maybe it's just not, it's not generally available, but maybe granted, anyway, yeah, the general public thing just threw me off. I'm fine with it, I'm not opposed to it, I just really don't understand.
As a member of the general public, that's what you're feeling.
Maybe.
We're all... So if it's not available to the general public,
then
how's it available to anybody?
Who are these individuals that are not a part of the general public?
Yeah.
That's what I would like to know.
That's probably...
And how can I become one of those individuals?
Yeah.
That's surprising, because that is not word right.
Yeah. That's why I was wondering what he was getting at.
So I think what he was getting at with that is that people can't say, they can't come to say, I'm a citizen, I have a right to do a library program, and, you know, and so you have to accept
that. I can see what he's saying there.
So maybe, can we, like, if we got rid of not available to the general public, so it just says, using the library space and resources for lectures or programs is a privilege, and may be granted to individuals.
May, the word may covers it.
Yeah, but just get rid of, I just feel like the not available to the general public doesn't really...
Or maybe it's not available generally?
Yeah.
Can we just leave it as using the library space and resources for lectures or programs as a privilege?
Yeah.
Well, and I think the problem is I don't know if you read the library presenter policy, which therein says that you as the director have the discretion to say who can and can't.
Right. So yeah, maybe we do just get rid of everything after it's a privilege.
Or is a privilege that may be granted.
Yeah, either way. Just go to that general public.
The word may covers it, because may is up to her discretion.
Okay. So get rid of not available to the general public, but...
I agree with getting rid of that.
Okay. That was the only thing that I was like, I don't know. Quite.
I was just noticing right here that the park is sponsored by Waste Management.
Oh. Kind of banner there?
Yeah. So this, the city doesn't have a policy. We're definitely
doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, they get lots of sponsorships for the thing.
Yeah, they do.
And
from the park. A long time ago.
I believe that was there when they had that big bin to get rid of the carpet scraps and miscellaneous stuff.
Oh.
Do you think? That's how long it's been there, I believe.
It's been there for quite a while.
But Springville City just sent out their email about sponsoring Art City Days, and they've got silver, gold, platinum packages. I mean, they're with different favors they're going to give the businesses, exposure. I think
it's
pretty commonly accepted around here, at least.
I think this policy is good.
That was my only question the whole thing, was I just kind of didn't understand that.
Okay, good. I'm glad it wasn't just me.
No.
I was noticing that the Pleasant Grove Library has a whole wing that's by a builder. Or is it the kids' room? Like, it's sponsored by a builder.
Hmm. American Fork has a whole room sponsored by Scott Smith.
I'm telling you, if you want people to fill out big checks, give it a name. Give
I'm
it a
not,
name.
I'm not at all opposed to naming rights. I'll name it after just about anything.
Deadly dog.
So
naming rights.
And they're doing that with their new library. They're selling naming rights at the new library. So they're not selling them. They're offering naming rights to big enough donations. So.
Well, maybe we should just have that generally available. Like, how can you? I mean, there's lots of people here that have wealth, and if their grandchildren are here and they're living in these smaller homes, and hey, let's have grandma and grandpa, whoever's kids' library here.
Yeah, no. When it comes time for us to start making a big addition or building a new library, that will.
I mean, you look at the park, and that's how you get.
But I think if we just had a page that says naming rights, like we're open. Like I don't if the opportunity's here, I want someone to know that we're open.
Yeah, but if you don't know, you don't know. That's why you have to advertise. And promote.
I mean really when we get a promoter that'll take it the next level. But there really should be a section, that calls out what we would love to have. You got a cool couple mil? You can have a whole wing named after you. So,
I think that doesn't need to be in this policy, but yeah.
Yeah. And when we get to that point, we can change the policy. And
yeah. Well, the policy covers it. The policy covers it.
I mean, this is talking about programming.
Then it's just about having the promoter say, here's all the opportunities available.
Okay.
All right, so we need to motion on this. So we wanted to make two minor changes, right? Just mm-hmm. take out the may, and we're also...
Take out not available to the general public, but...
Okay. And then did we want to allow on the bottom to say, or...
I think we decided that because it's cash donations from businesses to support programs will be handled through the Library Foundation.
Okay.
It's
okay.
All
right.
Was there another change?
No.
Okay, so I move that we adopt the library presenter sponsorship policy as amended.
That's good, yep, because I got the specific changes in
there. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Switch it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, all right, so now we're moving on.
We could work on that, all this, guys.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Amy.
Appreciate it.
I know you did a lot of work on that.
That was a lot of work.
I don't know what the city attorney is thinking. General public. I want to know how I get to be not part of the general public. How can I be
one of
those
special
individuals?
Sounds
fancy.
So many
other people.
Yeah, like what are these individuals that aren't part of it? The elites.
All right. So the next agenda item is the background check policy.
Okay, same kind of idea. We are required to create a background check policy for the library because of a recent bill passed in the state by the state Congress, and we had two drafts submitted for consideration in March.
And Jesse came up with draft three.
I mean, after our discussion, yeah.
So, and then we had, there's a new draft that was submitted, so that's just what we need to consider today.
And I reviewed this, and I didn't really have anything that I was concerned about. I did a great job.
No concern as well.
I mean, I just basically put the statute in here this time, so... Yeah. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, we're not trying to explain.
The only thing that we're adding, the one thing I did want to ask you guys about is the definition of significant contact, because so if you look at the very first definition, qualifying position, you have to get a background check if you have significant contact with minors or vulnerable adults, right? And in the statute it says that's defined by the library board. So then the very last definition in that section is, I put, based on our discussion last time, that significant contact is recurring contact. Do you think that covers all the things? Okay. I couldn't think of another way to say it. Okay.
I think in general, Donna, you're just going to background check everyone.
I mean, that's, right? Yeah, that's just the thing I made up from thin air. So I just wanted to make sure.
It works.
Everybody, okay, that right, works. And I'm good.
There was one question I had. And that was, what was it? Okay, it says all qualifying prospective employees must submit to a criminal background check as a condition of employment with the library as part of the application process, blah, blah, blah. But where does it talk about volunteers?
It's that's about the top.
So it's in the definition
it's
of
the
a
definition.
Qualifying prospective employee.
But it doesn't say qualifying position
including
or
a
prior to volunteering.
Yeah, including
paid or unpaid.
Yeah.
Qualifying position. Including a volunteer position.
Yeah. Well, qualifying prospective employees, because I have just figured out qualifying positions.
It is confusing because that's the way the legislature did it. They defined qualifying position and then qualifying prospective employee.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to read both definitions to even understand what that.
Is there any way to make it a little bit clearer that this includes volunteers? It's like including a volunteer position.
Including a volunteer position right here.
Are you looking under the heading?
It's not the
process?
Qualifying position that I'm concerned about. It's
the process.
So this, and then it defines what a qualifying prospective employee is, an individual who applies for a qualifying position. So then
okay.
Under this. It's the way the legislature did it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can do it somehow differently, but that's why I put also it here. So all three reference volunteers.
So why did
the state policy does not require us to background check volunteers?
It doesn't. Only those who are qualified.
So we're just doing it.
We're doing it extra.
Yeah.
Okay, could we just from my state say all qualifying prospective employees and volunteers?
The problem with that is that would include under 18 year olds. So by including it up here, it has to be somebody who's 18 years old and is applying for a qualifying position, and then a qualifying position is defined as a minor, as a volunteer, a paid or unpaid position.
Yeah, so by saying qualifying prospective volunteer, we know that they have to be over 8 because it says qualifying prospective
employee. So,
okay.
So if you put that,
well, cause
I did
cause
go back
under age 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're gonna have to background check every volunteer, even if they're under 18, which would be stupid because. They wouldn't, as Rachel pointed out, have a record that we
no, they wouldn't.
Yeah, there's no record.
Yeah.
Well, and the policy says you don't have the background. Like the law says you don't have to do under
18. I will just trust you.
what will disqualify someone?
Huh?
What would we find?
So like if they rob the bank?
No. A qualifying position means that they have significant contact with minors. So I have a volunteer now that's coming in and wiping down shelves every week, but she's not having significant contact with minors.
I'm saying, so what would you find that would disqualify someone from employment?
Oh,
sex offender registry.
Okay, a sex offender, being on the sex offender registry.
Criminal history. It's only
any
criminal
history.
Well, they can make the call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She Donna gets to make the call. If there's a positive, if there's a result of some kind,
then
she gets and I can make the call.
Is it basically a felony? Not
I think
misdemeanor.
It would be the nature of it.
It would be the nature.
Yeah.
Even a misdemeanor.
Well, it depends on what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if misdemeanor assault is something
it's
you don't.
I don't know if that there is such a thing.
That's
as
why it's very
like
there are
many
misdemeanors.
Yes.
That's
just a little bit of an assault. Yeah.
Or theft.
A little bit of
misdemeanor theft, depending on if they're handling
money
or
how much the money is. That
yeah.
Yeah. That'll differentiate the significance of the crime.
It's just as long as it comes down to discretion where you look at it and make a decision.
So I consider ourselves the framers in this moment, and our intent.
Intent is just to protect kids.
Yeah. And again, I think you're already doing what was required of us, and so this just makes it more clear and easier to follow. So.
Well, I haven't done background checks from any volunteers, and there's one that we've had volunteering with story time that is, you know, as soon as this gets past the day, I'm going to go approach her and say, okay, it's time for you to give a background check. There's new law, yeah, new law. And she's going to stay with us over the summer. I mean, this was the last week of story time, so if she wasn't coming back in the summer, I wouldn't worry about it. She is coming back in the summer. So I'm going to, before she starts in the summer, I'll have her get her background check.
Are the fees, I did put in here that you could charge a fee.
Okay.
Are you just going to cover it with your budget?
I was planning on just observing it.
What's it cost?
$35.
A lot of people are, we have to get them just to help out in the classroom at school. So if you want to do any kind of volunteer work at the school, if you want to go on a field trip or something, we can do that.
Probably not. I don't think they would share it.
Yeah. There should be like a shared, like,
here, or at least release it to me. So, then you're opening yourself up.
It would have to be like a shared, like, centralized system that has, yeah, and then you log in and say this person had a background check like so many months ago, and so now it's eligible for you.
There would still be a fee for $35 to access the database.
Sounds like I have a new business model.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Centralized.
I'm going to think about, Jessica, do you know volunteer?
In the bill up on line 17, it says it provides for fiscal assistance to smaller counties and municipalities.
We don't. I asked them.
Yeah,
we don't.
Of it.
Yeah. We're not a. Right, it's like fourth tier. It says at the end which libraries, but you said we don't.
No.
Fourth, fifth, or sixth class.
Yeah. It's for like, it's for like the little, you know, tiny libraries in Washington County.
Yeah. Naval
shop.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Do you know that, right, Rachel?
What?
Levan is naval.
It's the very
the center
of
Utah.
Naval. I did not know that.
L-E-V-A-N.
But I do know where Ivapah, Utah is.
I don't know where that is.
Significant thing there.
Wow. Is it great?
I have always loved it. It has a special place in my heart. It has one school.
Uh-huh.
With two teachers. For all grades.
To 18?
Where's that at?
Yeah, well, they started having the high school students. They would go to Wendover.
Uh-huh.
It's like an hour and a half away. But
crazy.
No, they have like online options and stuff too. Cool. My uncle used to be the principal and teacher.
Principal and teacher. There are some really small communities for Utah. Okay, this does cover volunteers. If you want us to put in a line somewhere that says this covers volunteers, just so it's easier to point to, we could. I mean, I don't think, so that really the main people we're writing for is the state library.
Right.
Because they're requiring us to turn this in. So I think as long, I think they should be able to figure out the legal acrobatics there.
Okay.
All right. Do we have someone who would like to make a motion?
I finally found it. I move that we adopt the library. Oh, no, this is the presenter's fault.
It's okay. Background check policy.
I move that we adopt the background check policy as stated.
Do we have a second? Lynn seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And Jessica, wonderful job on that.
Really. A lot of work. Just appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Again, we were important. So appreciative to have you guys do all that nasty legal stuff. It kind of gives me hives.
And the next time you bug in, run into Stephanie, just tell her thank you for making our life easier.
Yeah.
So she just does a good job.
She does her job well, doesn't she?
Yes.
Everything.
Well, and as I was looking for other information and couldn't find it, I was like, wow, mm-hmm. Good job.
Stephanie does a good job.
Yeah.
She's really very good. And just the nicest person, too. You never feel pressured, or she just does it well.
Okay.
All right, to the discussion items.
Okay, discussion items. It's kind of the main event.
Can I ask if Alpine Children's Library is going has any
bearing
on the proposed library collaboration as well?
I know, it's just unrelated topics.
All right, okay.
I've heard some things about it, so I just wanted to make sure that...
Yeah, it's just an adjacent topic.
Okay.
Does Cedar Hills have a library?
No.
They don't.
Cedar Hills doesn't have a library.
And they're very grateful
for that. Nor Alpine,
for the use of ours.
Yeah.
And Alpine doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They have the bookmobile, if I remember right.
Except
they were also
the developers this month.
Yeah, they were. There was debate whether they were going to pay the $10,000 a year, I think is what they get charged for the bookmobile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't read council
do you want? There. Do you want me to give you the final things that what happened there?
Sure.
Yeah, do so mine first.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so the lady that's pushing for this is one of our really faithful library patrons that I've known for a long time. And, so she gives me updates. They approached, so they had a historical house that they were hoping that the city would let them use as, or that someone would donate or pay for it or something. They were going to get this historical house and as part of, you know, they were going to renovate it as a historical place but also make it into a library. That fell through. So they don't have a location anymore. But they have started collecting donated books, and they have over 2,500 donated books already.
Can we just give them to us?
I told them, if it falls for you, can we just give them to us? I told you that. And so they went to the city council and petitioned. They discussed the whole thing, and they asked the city council if they wouldn't renew their... bookmobile, and that the money that would have gone to the bookmobile will now go to them. And I think she said that was approved. So it sounds like they're severing their time with the ties with the bookmobile, and that the money's going to go towards this project to make this children's library.
So at $10,000 a year, this finishes in... 2050?
When children today are adults.
Grandparents?
They're hoping to have themselves. They're hoping to have, you know, donors come forward. And there's plenty of rich people in Alpine. So I did talk to her. One of the objections with eliminating the bookmobile is those people in Alpine who are senior citizens and were going to the bookmobile now won't have access because they can't make it clear to Highland. And so I talked to her about maybe a year from now trying to write a grant to get a vehicle that would do outreach for senior citizens.
Well, if we're going to have a vehicle.
Wait,
for
that same vehicle?
But this was before, we got there, talked about getting a grant to get a vehicle to pass books around, so it could be perhaps possibly the same vehicle.
Is there any way you can, like, combo with, like, Meals on Wheels? Like, they're already doing, like, deliveries like that, why not say have a book too?
It's possible.
I think they're pretty full up.
That could be
the vehicle's full of food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that would
be
an open
to that kind of collaboration. For a while, we had one of our librarians go to the nursing facility by
Long Peak.
And taking books in once a month, you know. To their library and doing a book talk. We had someone doing a book talk there once a month. And then it shut down over COVID.
Yes.
And then it never did get restarted. But we had that kind of outreach going for a while. So that's where the Alpine thing is. But it sounds like Alpine's moving a little closer to supporting their little children's library. Yes.
Do you think we should contact the home over there across from Lone Peak, reestablish exchange of books or providing books? We have books, you know.
We do. It is something that we could look into again.
Well, I could check out.
It was Kelly that was doing it, and I think that she did approach them again after COVID, and they were still feeling nervous about having someone come in.
Oh,
but maybe if she reapproached them now,
might be better.
Enjoyed,
yeah.
I don't know. She enjoyed doing it.
They have an events person there. Right. They hire that's in charge of events.
Okay, well, I'll go visit them and see the volunteer and ask, you know, can we provide books or whatever?
We have an account set up for them, you know, that we can check out books too.
Oh, you do? Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
People die pretty regularly at that place.
Well,
I mean,
yes, it makes me.
Yeah. Kevin's waiting room.
Oh,
dear. That is the nature of the.
That's life.
Of the services that
just
provide them.
Yeah. Grab the book from the room.
It was interesting when we started doing outreach to them, you know, after she had done a couple of months, then she would start asking for requests for what books she could bring next week. And she was kind of surprised how spicy the books were that they were. She was expecting all of these, you know, really gentle, well fixed stuff, but no, they were wanting James Patterson. So,
it was really exciting.
Yeah, they needed more excitement in their life. So. Okay.
All right, on to the fun topic.
Okay, so this happened this month. The directors of Highland, American Fork and Pleasant Grove Libraries approached me personally and said that they were planning on pursuing a closer collaboration between those two libraries. Where they would have a shared catalog and transport books back and forth, and they asked me if I might be interested in joining that kind of collaboration, and I was very interested in joining that kind of collaboration. So we had a second meeting, and we discussed the proposal. So what it would require from us would be, they would require that we raised our non-resident fee to be equal to theirs. So ours is now 70, theirs is 85. So we would need to raise our non-resident fee up to 85.
Can I ask why?
I think that...
So people don't all...
So
oh,
people don't
oh,
come
does.
Join us,
and they
so that they end us.
Right.
I guess my question is,
they can do that
now.
But they wouldn't have the ease of getting all the materials at one.
And it would make sense if we have
yeah.
a common catalog.
I think the commonality is important.
Yeah, if we had a common catalog, it would be very complicated to charge one fee if you're getting a Highland card and a different fee if you got another kind.
Does that also apply to like policies? Because now you've got.
No, they said that if you would have your own policy, each library would have their own policies.
So we're saying fees have to be the same.
The fees would have to be the same. So the policies associated with the circulation of books would probably have to be the same because they would.
Yep.
It would be the same catalog.
So
we would
time
have
you
to.
Keep a book and
we would
like
have
that,
to
books.
Stop charging overdue fees. Fines.
You immediately said you immediately were interested.
I was.
You
said was.
Yeah.
And you emphasized that word a lot. Are you still interested?
I am. I'm super interested. And the reason why is, there's a couple of reasons why. Our library, so I pulled some numbers. Our library has 41,000 physical items that it circulates. Pleasant Grove has 63,000.
We have what? Sorry?
41,000.
Okay.
And I'm rounding off.
Yeah,
here's
good.
The actual numbers.
You're good.
Pleasant Grove has 63,000. And American Fork has 93,000.
Okay.
So altogether, it would quadruple the number of physical items available to our patrons at our library.
That's the most important thing. I strongly agree with you, Donna.
But tell me, sorry, I'm an engineer, so what's AF's and PG's motivation in this?
Okay, so this is a good question. This is, and I asked them. I says, you know, ladies, if we do this,
right, we totally benefit from.
We're the low man on the totem pole here.
Yeah.
Yes, we're the, I said, you know, if we do this, we are the one that gets the most benefit, and it costs us the less because to do this, they would switch to the
team.
Well, they don't belong now?
They don't. No, they both are in Circe Dynamics.
Still.
So to do this collaboration, if I join, they have to both switch to Koha. If I don't, they would both stay on Circe. And he says, ladies, why are you doing this? And honestly, they just...
They love you guys.
Exactly. That's what a librarian would do.
It's what a librarian does. Cassandra is the one... American Fork is the one that's kind of spearheaded it. And ever since she became a director, she's felt like we should have a county system. And this is her first way to make a first inroad to developing a county system. If she thinks if we can get it started, then maybe, you know, maybe eventually Lehigh would join us, or maybe eventually would join us. If it were all over us.
Someday get Orem and Provo,
or we could keep them separate. Like Salt Lake is separate from Salt Lake County.
True,
but maybe the little libraries could.
It's funny you say this because I was talking to Amy about this last night. I was like, my wife Amy, not. But I was like, is this just altruistic? Like, are they just like, and I love that.
I can't believe it.
It's partially because they're my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, we have a close working relationship. So I did some statistics. American Fork Library, their annual operating expenditures are $1 million, $1,138,510. That's their annual budget, $1 million. Ours is for the same time period was $382,000.
Yeah.
I remember discussing
this. Yeah.
And she gets twice as much per capita funding than you do. And I think she felt sorry for us.
Exactly.
She feels sorry. Recall this other life, she feels sorry for us because we don't get supported well enough.
Okay. I think one of the frustrating things, of course, your programs are so important, but when you come into a library and you can't get the book that you want, this helps towards that in such a significant way. I think that it's the direction that we should be thinking about going.
One example is foreign language books. Like here, we have the funding to have some Spanish books. American Fork has shelves of Spanish books,
right?
And other languages, French, Chinese, all different languages. So my son Zach asked one of the librarians here, you know, could we get some French books? And she's kind of like, we can't just get a few French books. Like, we only have the resources to focus on this, but. If you could order things from American Fork.
Yeah. And if we did this, then we could start to establish specialization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe one library who has, you know, a dual immersion French school in their boundaries would get a bunch of French, and then other people could use it. Or, you know, maybe we have more Chinese than other libraries do. Because we, you know, we do have some Chinese books now, and maybe American Fork doesn't have Chinese, like, because we have a Chinese dual immersion school here. We had someone actually this week from American Fork come and learn how we do our Yodo cards, because they don't have Yodo cards there. But we don't circulate board games. An employee from American Fork came to learn how to do your card circulation. American Fork has this great board game collection, but we can't collect board games because we just don't have the space to store them. So
my question has to do with the fiscal impact.
Yes.
If we have an increase in revenue of $6,000 per year by raising the non-resident fee, but then we can no longer charge overdue fines, which was $10,080. That's a $4,000 shortfall,
it is.
Right?
We would have to just eat that. So the question is, Okay. So if
$4,000 to expand our collection by that much seems like a deal.
Right, that's the thing.
$48,000 a year.
It would probably come out of our book
right.
budget.
It's a little more than that, right?
Because there's
is that annual? Sorry,
no,
that
was
annualized. Those are annualized numbers.
$4,000 a year.
But there's also the new expense of the courier.
Well, that was $300
a year.
A year.
No, that's because you're going to pay an hour for someone to go on that. So everybody has to drive. You're going to do it every 3 days? Is that what you're going to do?
Number four sets the cost of gas and vehicle maintenance.
So twice a week. So let's say I come to the library on a Thursday.
It doesn't account the hourly wage. That was just gas, the reimbursement rate.
Yeah.
$300 in gas a year?
No, that's like the IRS, you know, because the
mileage. Oh,
gas or vehicle maintenance.
Gas would be different.
So
we
wouldn't shoulder the whole responsibility of being the courier.
No, it said $1,052 of shared expense, so about $350 per library.
It makes sense to have everybody do it once a week.
Yeah. We were thinking two times a week to start out.
It says an hour anyway. One hour every other.
That's work that they were doing or not doing.
Depends on the different work.
Yeah.
If it was your math, that it would cost about $4,000 a year, right?
Six thousand.
We're losing on the overdue fines, but could we still charge people for books that are destroyed or lost?
And all the libraries still do that.
Yeah.
If there's a book,
so there will still be money coming in for that.
Is that a trend?
That's
the library
not
charged.
Yeah. Yes. Salt Lake County just
they
no longer charge overdue fines.
I remember just my own personal experience.
Most libraries are not doing it.
That overdue book. That 10 cents. I had to go out and earn. I had responsibility that I had to take care of. And there was a teaching opportunity that overdue fines created in the youth. And we're losing all that.
We are.
For me, it was I grew up in severe poverty, and so that overdue fine made it so I couldn't go back to the library.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that I grew up in poverty, but I did. That 10 cents, I had to go out and earn. I got bottle caps.
I had no way to do it.
Yeah. What's funny is I didn't know we were poor.
I did. We lived in single lives, you know.
Yeah.
Because the people for whom paying a fine is a hardship.
But it's interesting that I just didn't know what to do in the middle of nowhere.
I think we're out of the loop and continuing to do that.
The state library published a notice this week to send out an email to us that currently 40% of the libraries in Utah do not charge overdue fees and 60% do. But that's not by population, that's by actual library, and there's way more tiny libraries than there are big libraries. And like I said, Salt Lake County just eliminated their overdue fees.
Well, and I want to call out here, like we're 3 years away from being financially not viable.
Right.
Right. Like,
right.
So we're removing a source of income, we're adding expenses, and so I see the value in this, but I also see concern because, like, I'd like to still have a library.
Okay, so I've thought about this too. I mean, this is why it's so hard to ask, because we are getting close to that non-viability line. So when that non-viability line hits, what do we have to do?
We cut services?
We either cut services or we ask for more money.
Right,
right.
So if we're going to ask for more money, do we want to ask for money as a library that has better service or as a library that has worse service? So if our service level goes up, are we more likely to get the support to raise our income or less likely to get the support to raise our income?
I was also thinking, I mean, if we move toward the county systems, we may be able to cut costs in some ways if we needed to.
And one thing that I don't know about this, I mean, currently we are paying $9,000 a year for our COHA service. The combined
catalog is $28,000 a year. So it may be that our annual contribution to COHA might go down.
Because we're smaller and it'll be based on the percentage.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't have the numbers on that yet. Mm-hmm. But it's a possibility that that expense will go down.
So.
And there's a possibility if we eliminate fines, more people will be willing to pay non-resident fees knowing that they don't have to pay fines on that. It may be that if we raise the non-resident fee, fewer people will actually sign up as non-resident cards.
I don't think
they're going to go down that much. Because the people who buy the non-resident cards, a lot of them are the Storytime Moms with 95 people coming to the one Storytime.
That was the question I had, was the non-residents. Why are they coming here? Is it because of the books we have that aren't available, or is it these other services that we're doing really generating?
They just all come from Cedar Hill.
Well, it's like story time.
Come here because it's the
fantastic. Grandpa thing, grandma thing.
So that wouldn't necessarily have an impact on how many non-residents cards are issued each year.
It's hard to know. It may be that there's some people who got non-resident cards here because it was cheaper, and that they also go to American Fork a lot.
So Cedar Hills reimburses the full amount or just 65?
65. And Alpine's still at 40.
Yeah.
And Alpine's still at 40.
So and they may decrease that if they're
from if they become if they get their own library, they may stop.
They may just learn it. Yeah.
Which then hurts our revenue.
Is it just a children's library?
It's just a children's library.
And would not
Cedar Hill living was in default to right?
They would lose access.
But if they had the children's library and then went all e-books on the adult side,
you'd have to pay the.
But they would have to become a certified library to get access to the e-books. And if they're being supported privately, they can't become a certified library. They have to have 60 or 70% of their support from their student.
Well, and they have to have the volume of e-books to fall by.
So
I'm concerned about finances. I'm concerned about, okay, as soon as we start doing this, like a policy no longer becomes a policy that this board controls. You're going to have to create an interlibrary policy board that's going to have to govern that because, hey, when we want to do something now, you know, it can't just be the three directors go and change all the policy. We've got to get all the boards aligned. You're adding tremendous process to this.
We only have one policy that governs circulation.
One shared policy. However, you now have a shared COHA policy. And
well, no, the circulation policy is what governs COHA.
And what about, like, because circulation, you know, media, all kinds of everything. Like, for me,
it won't affect Libby at all. Libby will stay the same. The e-books will stay the same. Well,
it's only physical circulation.
It will only affect one policy, and that's the physical circulation policy.
But her goal is a county system, right? And in a county system, all the entities are the same.
But that would be a whole...
Yeah, but the county system will not happen while you're still a library board member.
No.
Right.
And many, many things could happen in that time. You're only thinking of the bad things that are going to happen. Some really great things could happen.
But playing devil's advocate isn't bad either.
It's a good thing, but you have to allow for the good things to happen.
The most complicated thing, I think, at this point, I don't think there's much difference between our circulation policies if we eliminate our fines. All of this circulates for 3 weeks. All of this, you know, renew twice, that won't change much. The main thing that will be the tricky thing is once we get a vehicle, the maintenance of the vehicle and how to pay for the gas, that is something that we would have to create an inter-local agreement, kind of like, you know, the police force does.
And things like that.
I don't think that'll be super complicated. It'll just be an agreement on that.
Can grants cover some more of that besides just the car? Is that something, you know, you have this narrow number of things that grants can cover? Is that something that a grant could cover?
It could only cover it for 1 year. Grants can only pay for something for 1 year.
So that's, again, and I love the idea. I just know that when you do something like this, it's never just this. Like the car you just called out. Like, in my mind, you were going to take a Highland City car, and when it's your turn, you're driving it for the day.
And for the first year, it would be that way, except I'd use my private car.
Okay. Is there an access to a Highland City car that you can use for that?
I am not currently certified to drive a Highland City car. I'd have to go through some process.
All I see is pickups.
Yeah. I would have to get certified as a...
I've never seen a sedan.
I was just thinking, I don't think I can... There's not one sedan I'm aware of. If they're all pickups.
I think you're right.
Are you saying Donna can't drive a van?
Yeah. Well, you can put it...
I am capable. Well, you can, I do have a van.
You can put a shell on it.
Maybe if the circulation is so much, you would need a truck. You know,
I do have a van.
You can just say you can only do it on sunny days.
my thought here with this is like, okay, so we've got to do circulation. We're only doing circulation 3 times a week. So like, if I come in here and say I want a book, that means if I come in on Monday afternoon and the circulation has already gone around, it's not coming in till Wednesday. So
right.
I'm coming back.
I've waited 28 weeks for things. It's worth it.
Yeah.
this is
that's pretty fast for library, if you ask me.
You're trying to start when American Fork checks it out to you.
Start when you check it out at the high level.
That's as fast as ordering it from Amazon.
Yeah. And then like that kind of thing. The timing.
What happens if there's a high demand book and like you ordered 10 copies of this book and you know you got them in on Tuesday and AF requests all 10 of your copies of the book but you haven't even circulated to Highland. Like, how do we handle those type of priorities? And then it becomes a disservice instead of a service.
Except for maybe not in our position because we're the smallest.
We're going to get the best.
Well, they also have more volume, so they've got more people coming in there. So,
and isn't there is, when you have interlibrary loan like that, there usually is something in place that favors your own.
Is there a priority like the digital checkouts?
Because that's kind of what I'm looking for. Is it's like let's not ravish our library to support their library. Like, I want it the other way.
Could we do it like provisionally? Like, let's do it for a year and reevaluate. Do you know what I mean?
It seems like a low risk thing to try,
right?
It's low risk for us, but it's not low risk for them.
Right. And it's going to take them some time to do that, as we know.
It will take 6 months.
But if
they've got 6 months to migrate, it would take them 6 months.
I think it's worth exploring.
Absolutely.
But we have questions.
No, they're good. I know that PEG isn't, and I'm assuming Cassandra isn't because she's the one that's spearheading this, and she wouldn't spearhead it unless she get out.
I think Kevin's devil's advocate is important.
It is.
The money is important.
It's going to be a little bit complicated. But I think the benefit to our patrons...
So this is kind of what I'm curious about.
We go through some complicated things.
Like, I see it, but I don't see it that much. Like, how often do you think you're going to get a request like this?
So, last year... at Pleasant Grove, currently 141 people have registered their Highland cards at Pleasant Grove, and they circulated 1,400 items. But at American Fork, 805 Highland people have their cards registered at American Fork.
I do.
And they circulated 15,000 items from American Fork.
Wow.
Yep, to Highland residents.
So what you're offering is a convenience.
It's a convenience to our residents.
To our residents.
Have to drive the American
Fork. Exactly right.
So can I ask the opposite? Like, do you have the opposite statistics of how much did we send to PG and how much did we send?
Yes. We currently have 61 people from PG registered with their card here, and we circulated 1,300 items to them. We have 123 AF people with their cards registered here and recirculated 3,694
items. That is not insignificant. On either side.
I mean, you're looking at 315 items a week.
For with what's that?
As a Highland residents that are getting books from PG and AF, that's 16,400. Divide that by 52. That's 315 books a week.
Yeah.
That's actually a lot.
That's a lot of books.
It is a lot.
That's a lot of books.
So for me, if I want a book,
put it in perspective, recirculate 500 books a day.
Can you do? You could do an online reservation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'm going to say I want this book, and then 3 days later, I can go to my library and pick it up.
Yeah. Will there be like notification, like Koha can work in, like, hey, your book is at the library now?
Yes. It has that full.
I never get the emails from the library.
You don't? We don't have.
You ever put a hold? I never hear about it. So. Okay. Could be my Yahoo account.
We need to mark this as a trusted.
Well, I don't know what to mark because I've never seen one.
Stop by and we'll get that mark. We've got three.
I mean, I'm really curious. I'd like
to imagine how you. That's a lot of books to put in a car.
What's that?
That's a lot of books to
carry.
Yeah,
it is
a lot. Like mail crates or something.
It's a lot. But if you do it two times a week.
Yeah.
I think you almost have to do it daily.
I think Monday, Wednesday, Friday could be okay.
It's a starter. You start there.
Three times a week, that's like 100 books. It's worth exploring further.
It's a lot of time and gas.
If you want to do 100 books all at once, you do 33,
33,
and
33. No, that would be three times a week.
Three
it would be about 100.
Yeah, but you would take 33 books from Highland to AF and 33 from...
Oh, yeah,
that's true.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, that does make it much more manageable.
Now, you'd probably take 10 from... Yeah, anyway.
10 and 80 and...
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm really curious. I just, again, the financials of the library, the sustainability of it, how this turns out. So my job, we've merged with 67 different companies. We've bought them. That's always fun.
Yeah, I mean, it would be bumpy. But we've done some big things at the library.
This wheel's been invented before. I mean, every big city is doing this.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's not new. And Kohai's totally set up to handle it. All of the modules are there. We're not using them currently.
Do we have an example of this where it is cities that have come together to do this as opposed to, like, Salt Lake County doing it?
Like the fire department.
I think Cassandra was in this kind of a collaboration before, and that's why she thought of it. But I don't remember where that was, so I can ask her more.
I feel like I participated in libraries like this.
I'm just curious about it because, like, if we can find, like, if this pattern has been emulated somewhere else, it's easier to go and ask them a question like, what was the challenge? What worked? What didn't work?
And maybe Cassandra would do that.
She would be the one to talk to. But so one question I need to on May 9th submit our fee schedule for approval by the city council for next year.
Can it be amended?
That I asked Jay about that, and he's going to check into it.
Because I think that's... that's really fast for this.
It is uncomfortably fast, especially you don't even have anything, really.
We haven't approved anything. But if we decided to approve this, would we want to change the fees at the new fiscal year, or do we want to wait until everyone else has migrated and then go to city council separately to change fees?
Wait as long as we have.
Well, I mean, would the city council need to approve the collaboration?
Probably.
They would
probably have transportation issues.
I don't know if they would be required because this is the oversight for the, but I think it would be a courtesy.
There could also be like insurance and indemnification issues if you get in a car accident while you're out doing things, trading the books.
Well, and then you also want to go on vacation, so who drives when you're not driving, you're not here?
Yeah, there would be like some potential ramifications.
I use my car for my work every
week. You would be the designated transporter?
Maybe.
At first, maybe.
Yeah. You know, we might take turns.
Okay.
And I think you're already, I'm not worried about the liability side of it at all, because she's already doing this kind of thing. It's just one more thing she's doing. That in and of itself doesn't change whether we're liable or not.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what would the next step be then? I guess the fees.
Yes. I mean, American Fork and Pleasant Grove want to kind of give a nod to know whether they want to go forward with.
I think you have to form an agency. I like go back to that at the end of the day. Like, there has to be something that goes over all three.
But the only thing that's really impacted is the distribution of physical books.
That is governed by one policy.
We already have the relationships in place.
The new click.
Where people can go check out the books. Mm-hmm. This is just an additional service.
So how is new click managed?
It's not.
We have a committee that meets periodically. It's just the directors of other libraries involved, and we just meet and vote on.
Are the other libraries going to be sad they weren't invited?
We've talked to them about it. It kind of, okay, so something happened at the same time as this that kind of brought it out of the closet. Saratoga Spring is getting a new library. And they used to be part of New Click, and they dropped out because too many people from Eagle Mountain were stopping at their library because, you know, they worked over here and it was convenient, it was on the way, and they got overrun. And so they backed out of New Click. Yeah. But now that they're getting a new library that's not right on the freeway, they're saying, could we possibly join New Click again? But if we joined, we want to try it out for just a few months to see if we have the same problem. You know, so we want to do a trial run back in New Click again once their new library's built, which won't be built for another year. And Lehigh said no. Lehigh said, if you're coming back in New Click, you have to commit, because they've got a lot of bad publicity, because a lot of the Saratoga Springs people were using the Lehigh Library because they worked in Lehigh. And when they weren't allowed to check out things at Lehigh, they got a lot of bad.
Lehigh is the one who had to deal with the customer service.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so Lehigh was saying, I think if you come back in, you have to commit to a certain amount of time, like 3 years or something. That's still up in the air. We haven't read about that yet. But
when this happened,
Pleasant Grove said, by the way, we're thinking about this thing. So they're aware. Lehigh, Eagle Mountain, and are
they interested?
Well, so the thing is, we said, okay, we need to have another New Click meeting, but Cassandra's out of town from now until when I go out of town, so there's 20 days in a row when we're not all in town, so we can't have a meeting until after I get back from my cruise.
So let's say, I'm going to throw out a hypothetical, let's say maybe Orem, PG gets, their library gets taken over by their city council. What's the poison pill? So, how do we end this? If you start something, you got to think about how it ends.
Exit strategy.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about poison pills in our deals or computers. Hey, this is going to end. This is how it's going to go out. Is there a way, like, again, we've seen Orem go crazy. What happens if, you know, one of the PGs says, hey, the books that Highland carries are not appropriate for our citizens? You know, and the council gets involved and it gets ugly.
That's true, all this book banning nonsense.
I'm just asking.
So you're saying if we wanted to back out of the agreement, how would we do it?
Yeah, like what's the, is it one person gets to say, okay, we're going to, they can opt out?
It would have to be. We would have to be able to pull out if we wanted.
Yeah, I mean, this would help the surface.
I guess once you own a vehicle together, it gets trickier.
Yeah, the vehicle,
but we're anticipating.
I would strongly recommend not owning your vehicle together.
For the first, until the next grant round, which would be at least 6 months. And by then, we would have a better idea whether, you know, it would be kind of a trial period.
I think there's still a lot of questions, but I think that we should.
Yeah, we should definitely keep looking.
But these are.
It might take a while.
$6,000
for people to realize that they can do it.
That this offering exists.
Yeah, it would be. It would be interesting to see if this offering opens up how quickly people start using it.
Yeah.
I mean, if the catalog is converted, people will start using it without knowing.
Right.
Well, that's true.
Right? Like, I mean, if I'm on there and I'm like, I need a book about whatever, and it pops up and I put it on hold, I'm not going to necessarily register where it's at.
From a different library.
Yeah, I might just be like, oh, my hold's in, and I go and pick it up, and I bring it back here, and...
You're clueless to the fact that it can't.
Well, and that's kind of the
video. Yeah, right? Like, because I just get on, and I'm just doing my little library thing, and I... have access
to. Is that how
Salt
Lake
County does it?
Yes.
Like if you,
you
request
one
and
then
it'll show up.
It's really nice. Salt Lake County, you have a city card and a county card. You can go, so you have
two options.
25 libraries you can go to, including the little one up by Alpha Sea Resort.
Wow.
Okay, so 20% of our budget, though.
The only thing we need to do today is decide whether we want to remove fees before the next fee schedule is approved.
And that's not an action item.
We
have to do it next month.
Okay. I thought you
said
it was due May 9th.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is soft due May 9th. They won't vote on it until June.
Okay.
The financial guy wants it by May 9th, but the council doesn't vote on it until it's part of the budget.
Right, and that is in June. The fiscal year starts July 1.
So we still have that we could decide at the next meeting and have that be an action item.
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing that we could consider is that raising our fee now, regardless of whether or not we go forward with this, it does bring in an additional $6,000.
Yeah.
Rachel, that's my thought. Is that
just go ahead and raise the number.
Raise it. It sounds like it's the going rate. I mean, why are we not?
Would it be removing fines as well? As a consideration?
Right. Do we remove fines when we raise the fees?
Yes. In my thought, we do.
But people still have to pay for destroyed and lost
books. The body still have to pay for destroyed and lost books.
That one isn't held to a time frame, though, is it?
It's on the fee schedule.
It's on the fee schedule.
Yeah, I think we just take care of it.
Actually, I'm pro removing fines. I just, as a kid, I had no control over my mom giving me a ride to the library. And those fees just were devastating.
Just wiped out. Yeah.
But $10,000 a year isn't nothing neat either.
No, it's not.
I love the idea. I get lost in
the logistics.
Yeah, the logistics and the long term future.
Other cities do it.
Well, we think other cities do it.
They do.
There are intangible benefits of not having fees.
In the scope of the city's budget, $10,000 is very little.
But in the scope of the library's budget,
it's a lot. Charging
losing $10,000 a year from our library budget may speed up us getting to that line, you know, by a year.
But it's not going to. It will not keep us from hitting the line.
We're going to hit the line.
The counter is, do we use this as the big, like, proposal for a tax increase? And we say, look, we're looking at doing this, and this is all the benefit. And by doing this, providing a better service to you, we actually become less financially viable, and we need a tax increase. Look at all the good you get, and you have to pay more for taxes. Because right now, this would be the biggest increased service offering that we could do.
It's a powerful message.
It is. But right now we're saying, hey, let's do it without taxpayer money. But if we add the taxpayer money onto it...
I just the climate isn't very favorable for tax increases. Yeah.
Well, can we just not get rid of the fines for now and then change our minds later?
I think we're going to be on the fee schedule, so we'd have to wait another year.
Well, I mean, it's possible to amend the fee schedule. I think, I'm asking Jay about it, I don't know for sure, but I think it would be possible to amend this fee schedule halfway through the year. It would be a council item off. And maybe,
especially if they have a good reason. I don't see why they would be bothered by that.
So 60% are still charging.
We do have presentations to the council.
By library.
That would be about the time when the other libraries would have migrated. So maybe it becomes part of that.
We obviously won't decide until next month. I just am worried about the $10,000. But I also really support that. I think. I was really happy with Salt Lake and all that, but also it's scary. 40%
of the charge. Right?
And the climate is like the market's not doing hot. And do you need to say anything for them?
No, I just know that she leaves them.
We're not voting.
You know what my vote is.
Okay. Yes, well, we're not voting.
Yeah, we're past voting. We're just Jesse.
I'm really curious. I'm really concerned about when we have to go to taxpayers. Because it's coming, like there is
it's
no.
It's going to come one way or the other.
I think if we go into it saying, "Listen, look at all of these amazing things that we're doing. We need more money. The more amazing things that we're doing, the better."
But the counter argument to that, and the unfortunate argument that we hear in Highland a lot, is have a balanced budget.
I'm just saying
that's what we hear.
The first time I presented my budget to City Council, Scott Smith made it very clear, you know, that I needed to, you know, this is how much money you get and you have to live within it. But it's not going to last forever, we all know that. And like I said, I would rather ask them for money. So if we, as we lose finances, we cut services. We cut services, you know, we cut hours, we cut programs, we cut books, and then we're this little lump of a library, and then we say, we want money, and they're like, no, let's just get rid of it.
But that's what I'm saying, like, ask for it now.
Well, yeah. We can also, like, look at all this increase in circulation, and all, like, look at how many items now we have access to, we've built it so big, we've outgrown our budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and not like we've shrunk down to nothing.
Yeah,
you have to go offensive.
That's why I say, like, this is a time, like, you've got a carrot here. Use the carrot and use it as, like, hey, look at all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ron? Do you think that would fly?
I do, even with Scott Smith.
Will we? That's the thing. Do we have the vote?
I know you have a vote with Brittany. I know you have it with Kim.
That's true.
And I mean, period.
But because it's a tax increase, doesn't it?
And Doug, you'll have it. With me, you'll have it.
I mean, so. Scott's on the AF.
He's the library board.
Yes.
I mean,
he has
a little.
It's the taxes,
and they're the ones that are pushing this. So maybe he would be on.
So that's a good point.
Like if we wanted to do
a tax increase, we were already too late for this year, right?
Right. I mean, we're not going to get a tax increase this year.
This fiscal year?
Yeah.
This fiscal year. We would have to start advocating for that next year.
But can we start the advocation today? Like, because I really think this is, that's the way this works.
When's the vote for, like, tax?
I don't know.
It's part of the budget, so it would be...
It would be, like, next time.
Yeah.
So and are we actually asking for a tax increase, or are we asking for more of the city budget? How it's funded, isn't it?
We want the tax increase, because then it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
That's right. I was trying to remember.
We have a designated percentage. We just need to up the percentage.
We need to up the percentage.
I think we have a strong argument, both if we add this extra service, but also just because of impact from moving people.
But we have all and of this like housing going in, the children moving in. It is so wonderful. There are people pushing strollers in Highland all the time. Mm-hmm. And
oh, and look at the park usage.
It's insane. It's amazing.
I think that's the thing is when Highland invests in something, like, we're so grateful because we got so little.
That park.
Yeah, that park is...
That park is about, I don't know, 20 times more usage than I had thought it would be.
It's crazy.
It's massive.
It's literally all day, every day.
Yeah,
it's packed every... I've not gone by it any time of day on any day of the week.
Even
not have it packed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love it. I know people are complaining about it, but I love it.
Nothing
right.
Like that.
People are complaining that we shouldn't let outsiders come use and stuff. And I'm like, do you know how many times I've taken my kids to other parks in other cities and we didn't have a good one?
That's good.
Now it's our turn to play host. Now it's our turn to play host.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlie, you can thank Brittany for that. Brittany and Kim are the ones that say
they are.
We need a better park than we're planning. They're the one that really pushed it to make it an awesome park.
It's incredible.
And the all abilities section really is dear to my heart. People with disabilities.
The meeting where we gave feedback on meeting the needs of different disabilities was incredible, and it made me. Southern thought, why don't they design all parks this way? Somebody brought up that they had some blind children. They had several blind children. And so their ask was to have a contrasting color in the zone of the swings and the slides so that they could avoid getting hit. And I'm like, you know how revolutionary that is just for any kid? Be like, don't go in the blue spots.
Even the little hammocks for autism.
Accessibility is better for everyone.
Everything was
better. I just love it.
But we're missing a fence. It's been my big push. We've got to get a fence around that playground.
Yes.
So that
was something I was very
less anxious.
Supportive of. A fence.
You're talking about on the street.
So much.
No,
it also helps
around the playground area itself. There needs to be just two or three, maybe four points of egress so that a parent can say, it doesn't have to be closed.
So kids don't run away?
So the kid, they've got more than one child. One child has a disability, you want to be able to.
What's the park in PG, the wood one?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, well, and there's like only so many points of entrance in it, and it's really nice. And we love it. We met there all the time.
It's a safe environment when you can have it.
It's a wonderful park.
Yeah. It really is. I've always appreciated closed-in parks.
It's one of the big asks by the people with disabilities or parents. They wanted that fence.
All right.
They need to get it.
So, I think we're all in favor of exploring more.
We are.
100%.
But I would also love to start exploring the tax, because I think that it's got to happen. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but
it might be better to do it too before the city gets to the line.
Yeah. Well, impact fees are just eventually going to go away, except for redevelopment, which is, we were a 50-year-old city, we're not a 100-year-old city, so where does redevelopment fit in? It's not, it's going to be a while, so impact fees are what worry me the most as far as revenue coming in for the library. It's going to go down.
Well, impact fees don't love the library.
Oh, they don't?
We don't get any impact fees.
Oh, then you're okay.
We're not.
If we didn't get impact fees, maybe we wouldn't have the problem.
We only get property tax.
you don't get impacted at all.
Yeah.
That's our problem, is that the usage keeps going up and up and up. And
well, the development does increase the property tax. That's the only way you get an increase.
That's right.
It's level.
And then once we've developed everything, there is no more growth for the library.
In the property tax.
Our budget then becomes
set for the reassessment.
Right.
That's the thing. My property taxes, though, do keep going up.
Yeah.
Well, they don't. It's complicated.
It
because
is.
Because the city doesn't get one dime more for every resident that was there last year. The only thing they get an increase on is the increase in the properties that people move into
the new
construction. Other than that, we don't get one dime extra.
Yeah,
you might get extra because your area went up a little more than another area that went down, because overall in the county it stays flat, with the exception of the growth. It stays flat. It's a complicated system, and it has no built-in increase for inflation or anything.
Yeah.
So it puts the municipalities at a real disadvantage.
Yeah. Anyway, the last thing on the agenda, so we move on to
some responsibility.
We have a few people whose seats are expiring this year. I think, and I didn't really print it out, I think it's you.
Okay.
It wouldn't be me.
It was you last time. I think
it would be me. I'll be 2 years in November, but I took someone's spot.
That's the thing. And I took someone's spot too, didn't I?
I know I did a partial, my first one, and this would be my first, like, full.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So there is an opportunity for another re-up?
I'd love
to. I think there are three people. I think it's yours and yours and yours that are coming up. But you're all eligible to reapply. I just want to make sure you were planning on reapplying.
Well, Ron isn't a reappointing.
No.
Yeah. No.
Ron's an appointment.
So. Ron's an appointment.
It's too bad.
Which I was grateful for.
We're glad to have you.
So do we fill out application and interview with Mayor?
We let her know, and then we vote again.
I didn't have to meet with the mayor.
But you do have to leave the room and have a second.
Oh, I remember Jessica's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That big fight that happened in there.
No, the mayor was just like, it's cool.
Yeah, I think you just let us know that. Just let us know if you're not wanting to be reappointed.
And right now, on the record. No,
I was just checking. All right. You never know.
Okay. Thanks, Wade.
No, I'm not leaving there.
Anything else we need to cover? Okay, do we have a motion for adjournment?
A motion to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
A second.
All right, meeting's closed.
You have to vote.
All in favor?
Yes!
Yay!